2:06. Currently, plenty of sunshine at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Temperature stands at 30 degrees. I am Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, coming up on today's program, plenty of talk concerning the Wausau School District. Last night, there was a regular board meeting of the Wausau School Board, and a very interesting board meeting. I watched it last night, and coming up in hour number two, going to play some comments during a very interesting, a very vigorous debate on a proposal to hold a non-binding referendum concerning the policies which were approved a few weeks back. Wanted to put a non-binding referendum question on the April 2024 ballot concerning the reconsolidation of schools within the Wausau School District. And again, I thought it was, in a lot of ways, I thought it was representative government as it should be, having this discussion, having, a very cordial and interesting debate. Talking about a very important issue to the people. We're going to play some of what was said during the debate that ultimately led to a 5-4 vote in terms of the putting the on the April 2024 ballot non-binding referendum. It was actually not passed 5-4, but again, I think a very interesting discussion, and I think some comments that I think need to be heard by the public, and I want to share a few of those with you coming up in the second hour, and also share a few thoughts that I have. I have been listening to the debates that have been going on in terms of this reconsolidation plan, been listening to members of the board, members of the public. We've had different board members on. We've had candidates on. We're going to have a candidate coming on here in just a few minutes. We also brought on the leader of a petition drive, Wausau school parent Nora Brown, who launched the online petition to ask district officials to step back in terms of this consolidation plan. And I got some, I think, further thoughts now that I think some things have gone into the public and more information has been out there. I want to talk a little bit about in hour number two. But here in hour number one, coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by another candidate for the Wausau School Board. And again, so much going on. We got this incredibly important issue that's been discussed over recent weeks and months. And now coming up on April the 4th, there will be another election as 3 seats on the Wausau School Board are up for election. There are 5 candidates. You got 2 incumbents looking to maintain their seats on the board. You have 1 incumbent, Lee Webster, who has decided to retire from the board. So that means we got, as well, 3 different candidates who are currently not on the board. And we're going to hear from one of those candidates who's currently not on the board, Jillian Bettino. She'll be coming in talking about the issues that she sees, talk about her background, talk about why she is running for this seat. So we'll talk to Jillian Bettino coming up at 2:15. But yeah, we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about these issues because I think right now so much talk within the community and some disagreement within the community about this very important decision. And of course, 7-2, just about a couple of months ago, the board passed the restructuring plan that will ultimately lead to 1 high school. Last night during the board meeting, it was interesting early on when discussing some of the plans for the where Wausau West is, which will be the new senior high school in Wausau. And for the first time, it was actually labeled as Wausau Senior High. And Pat McKee, a board member, former president of the Wausau School Board, pointed that out. And he was not, I think, very happy about it being called Wausau Senior High. And that's really the first time that we've seen that. So, again, it was an interesting board meeting last night. We're going to talk plenty about that coming up in the second hour. I also want to mention here before we take a quick break and then bring in Jillian Bettino that tomorrow we're going to have a best of, or we're going to call it a rerun. I mean, you call it best of tomorrow. I'll be myself heading to Madison as Civic Media is actually going to try to make me a better talk show host. Yeah, everybody that hosts a talk show on Civic Media is going to be down at the Civic Media headquarters in Madison for some seminar work. And hopefully when I come back on Thursday, they're going to teach me a thing or two and we'll be even better than we've been since we started this program just after Labor Day. So tomorrow it will be a rerun. Then I'll be back coming up on Thursday with a new program as well. And then on Friday, we will not be on because we will have Marquette basketball from the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Marquette taking on Vermont in the first round of the tourney. 1:15 pregame, 1:45 for the opening tip. So that will preempt me on Friday. But I'll be in Madison anyways on Friday because we will have the Newman Catholic boys basketball team in a state tournament semifinal, Division 5 state semifinal. Newman Catholic will be taking on Royal Friday morning, bright and early. Be 8:40 a.m. for the pregame, 9:05 for the opening tip. Newman Cardinal boys state tournament basketball Friday morning right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up after a quick timeout, we're going to bring in one of the candidates for the Wausau School Board, Jillian Bettino. We'll talk to her about, again, her campaign, her background, and a whole bunch more coming up next. Glad you could join me here on this Tuesday. Plenty of sunshine, 30 degrees in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And one thing we're trying to do here between now and the 4th of April is to bring all the candidates for the Wausau School Board here in our studio, talk about themselves, talk about the issues, talk about their background, talk about why they're running, all the basic questions. And we had Fred Teeley on last Thursday. And today, another of the what you call challengers, somebody who's currently not on the board, Jillian Bettino. And Jillian, first of all, thank you for coming on over.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. To begin with, before we talk about any issues, let's talk about the background, because one of the interesting things about, and I was talking to you just off the air about, you know, government, you know, about representative government in our area, in our state, in our country. And it's wonderful to see people with different backgrounds that get involved. And I was looking at your background. Could you talk a little bit about your background? Because you've had some very interesting experiences, haven't you?
Yeah, of course, everybody has. So I've been in Wausau since 2005, came via Ohio, Midwest, born and educated, but we found our home here. It was the ski hill that attracted us as we passed it through for a completely different job interview. We kind of pulled over and was like, can we figure out a way to work in Wausau? My husband, Ben, is a urologist and I'm a radiologist. We have six kids. Mm-hmm. They are age 27 to 17. And our youngest two boys are juniors, a junior and a senior at Wausau West. I've been in the Wausau area practicing medicine. I'm a breast cancer specialist, so basically, you know, detecting breast cancer and helping to manage it from a radiology perspective. But my passion for education comes from a variety of places. So my mom and my dad and my stepdad and my father-in-law, my sister and myself have all had the opportunity to work as educators. Mm. I think that growing up, my teachers were just pivotal, just very centered to how I made my decisions and you know, ultimately what I decided to do with my life. So about 10 years ago, I started working with a nonprofit organization, which is called RAD Aid, you know, Radiology Aid. Mm-hmm. And we work globally to build educational infrastructure in lower middle income countries. And so I was working with the World Health Organization in Georgetown, Guyana, in South America. And we were asked to build a radiology residency. So I was the director of that. And we built it from the ground up. You know, the Department of Radiology barely existed. There was no curriculum. Mm. And at the end of 7 years, we had graduated our first class. They had master's degrees from the University of Guyana and were the very first ever radiologists in the country. I believe that, you know, that it's just very exciting to advocate, to give people a fair shot at the things that should be available for everybody and just are not, because life is hard. So that's kind of where I've gotten my fun from.
It's interesting that you talk about your six children and going through the Wausau School District. I imagine all of them went through the
year. Yeah, all of them. So,
and you're now getting to the fifth and the sixth. They're just finishing up their high school careers here in the next year or two.
Yeah.
Why deciding now that, with your kids that are finishing up their experiences in the Wausau School District, that now you have decided that you'd like to become a member of the Wausau School Board? What led to your decision to take this plunge? Because obviously this is a very volatile time in terms of a lot of important issues in front of the board. What made you decide, well, I've been around it, and now it's time for me to take that leap?
Well, so I guess part of it is just life, right? So for the first 10 years of my career, I was working 70 or 80 or whatever hours a week, taking lots of call and that sort of thing. And I have slowed down. I work part-time now, so I actually have time to do things that I'm passionate about. And I think another thing, I mean, you referred to volatility, and certainly my kids have had a wonderful experience at Stettin and at John Muir and at Wausau West, but it could have been better. There are things that we could have done better for the kids, not only for my kids, but for all the kids. And I think that some of the things that were challenging during that time were things that I was working on elsewhere, and I kind of had this epiphany that the skills and the tools that I had developed at work and, you know, working abroad and building educational programs and just being, not just, but being a mom were really a unique set of skills that could really add to this board at this moment.
Again, we're talking to a Jillian Bettino. It is Jillian, right?
It's Jillian.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should have asked you before we went on the air, but Wausau School District, Wausau School Board candidate. Of course, the election coming up on April the 4th. There will be five candidates on the ballot for three slots on the Wausau School Board. You obviously said it just a moment ago that you've seen things over the years in terms of things that either, you know, could be better or could be changed in some way. I'm going to kind of make it more of an umbrella statement, because along with what you've seen and what you know is going on right now, what are the biggest issues that you feel like you could make a difference on the board?
So, I mean, the restructuring is, I think, front and center in anybody's conversation right now. But I see the restructuring, if you want to call it that, I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the final solution, but the changes that we're facing and the conversation we're having right now as a really important opportunity to have some conversations about things that have not taken center stage, and I think that the students and their families have suffered for it. So one of those things is definitely mental health. The kids, their families, our teachers certainly have experienced extraordinary, unprecedented stress from COVID, from political stuff, and actually political COVID stuff, where I think there was a lot of division, there was a lack of preparedness. And, you know, right now, as we're discussing all of these impending changes and these opportunities to do things better, I hope that's the goal behind the mm-hmm. discussions. I think it's a time to also talk about making sure our kids have adequate mental health support, that we're screening our kids, that we're taking care of our teachers, that we're attracting and retaining teachers who have the training available to them to help our kids kind of be as resilient as they need to be in these days and after COVID.
Let me ask you, because obviously with children in the district over the last, and right now we're basically 3-year anniversary of when we shut down back mm-hmm. in 2020, in March of 2020. You've seen your children. I'm sure you've seen friends of your children, families that you deal with within the Wausau West and the John Muir communities over the last few years. How difficult has the last 3 years been, especially the first year and a half, 2 years, where there were so many different issues and a lot of pushback, I think, in terms of what was being done and what was trying to be accomplished. And then in addition, it's never easy to go through, you know, junior high and then high school and to stay on top of things, to be ready for the next steps as well. As you take a step back over the last 3 years, what have you found out? What did you see during these last 3 years?
Well, I think, you know, at the time going through it, that everybody was in survival mode. You know, we were all worried about protecting it, you know, immediately when it was recognized that there was a dangerous infectious disease, you know, going around, that we had an actual pandemic, that the first big one that we really needed to be worried about in 100 years or in generations. Mm-hmm. I think that people were panicking about, you know, just the surviving, making sure they had their kids protected, their families protected, you know, toilet paper. I mean, you know, we all remember that.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of stole the, you know, the stage, and that we kind of missed out on other things that were happening. You know, kids being isolated and from their friends, and separated from their teachers, the learning losses that occurred, you know, for kids that are maybe introverts or a little more shy, mm-hmm. Just learning to look another person in the face again, having a conversation without a mask on, being, you know, concerned about just friend groups and all of the things, so much happening online, bullying online. I feel like that all kind of exploded, and it took a little while to actually recognize some of those true challenges. Kids are amazing and resilient and tough, and I really think our kids should be applauded for that. Our teachers should be applauded. But we also need to stop and recognize that there's some work to do now to repair it.
I'm going to ask you about, you know, the headline issue of the consolidation coming up in a few minutes. But staying on mental health, as we look from this point, March of 2023 forward, and assuming that you're able to become a Wausau School Board member in the election in April, what are some of the ideas? What are the things that you've seen that you would like to see maybe either done differently or that would be important to do for the mental health aspect for kids in the Wausau School District?
I think that we have an opportunity, as we're, you know, talking about rebuilding and restructuring, to do a couple of really interesting things. One of them would be a regular check-in with students of all grades, and it had to be obviously age appropriate. What you do for a kindergartner isn't going to work for a, you know, a junior in high school, but some method of giving students a mechanism of asking for help or reporting if they have a problem. And I think that those problems can range from things like food insecurity. You know, we have booming, that's not the right word, we have horrible poverty evolving in our country, and Wausau is no exception to that. Mm-hmm. Making sure that kids have food to eat, making sure that they're safe at home, making sure that they're not getting bullied in person or online. You know, issues with school violence. There is an opportunity to create some kind of a norm where kids are used to having the interface where they can say, I'm worried about something. So I would like to do that in some kind of digital way, and then focus more of our funding and our resources on mental health capacity and services at our schools.
We have to take a quick break for a news update, but we'll come back and kind of delve into, because I just with your language, I see that maybe you're looking at the consolidation maybe in a different kind of way than maybe some others have been looking at it. I'm kind of going to pick at that a little bit when we come back, but we're going to take a news update. We'll find out what's going on around the country and around the world with CBS, and then we'll also have a civic media news update from our headquarters in Madison. But we'll come back, have more with Wausau School Board candidate Jillian Bettino coming up. The time is 2:28 right now. It is sunny and 30 here in Wausau. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And, of course, on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we are talking to each of the Wausau School District candidates. Today, we're talking to Jillian Bettino, who is on the ballot with four others for three seats on the Wausau School Board and the election on April the 4th. And we were talking in the break. You're used to these campaigns, but this is a little different because this is a very narrow Wausau School Board. You've run a couple of statewide campaigns, and what do you take away from those campaigns that maybe you're using in this, or maybe is there not really much that you can use in a campaign in a community as opposed to a statewide campaign?
Well, I mean, everything. It was such a valuable experience. And I think the number one thing that really stood out to me, changing from a state to a local campaign, was the incredible importance and direct impact of the school boards everywhere I went. So the school boards were making decisions that affected everyone right now, immediately after a decision was made at a school board level, whether it was masking or unmasking or getting kids back in school or nutritional services, mm-hmm. and, you know, all these things that were really, really high impact, important things, and that people were very passionate about.
I'd like to talk to you about a few of the other issues with statewide, but we'll kind of save that because I want to get back into these issues on the Wausau School Board. And of course, the consolidation issue has been front and center now since last summer in terms of when the committee started meeting. I'm just going to throw it out there. What are your thoughts on this issue in terms of how it's developed over the months, where we stand today, but where we're going in the future? I'm going to kind of open it up for you to speak to the voters on that issue.
So I had the opportunity this summer to attend a subcommittee meeting. Mm-hmm. And just sitting through the meeting, not saying much and listening to all the conversation throughout the meeting, my take was that there was a lot being withheld from the conversation. And I felt like perhaps the overt goals of responding to the fact that we have a decreasing population, we need to be fiscally responsible with our dollars. We want the dollars to count. We don't want to be having, facilities that are not being optimally utilized because of small classroom sizes that we're, having to pay all of that money. It's not going towards optimizing our kids' education. That sounded all smart and fair. There are two things that really got me thinking, what is going on here? One of them was that athletics was very highly represented in the room. And there seemed to be a lot of focus on an athletic facility and having an excellent athletic team. And I understand that. All of my kids have done sports. My girls were all WASA West Warrior cross country runners, and I was that screaming mom on the sideline. And my boys are all soccer players and, you know, all varsity soccer players, and they had great seasons at WASA West, and hopefully we've got a couple more, one more anyway. Mm-hmm. And I understand the importance and value of sports, and I love winning, just like everybody else. Love it, love it, love it when we win. But I do not, I think we are misled if we believe that the value in high school sports is winning. You know, being a WIAA championship team, mm-hmm. is that where the value is for the school and the most kids? Or is it that as many kids as possible get to play for their school? And so that's what I believe is the mistake, that in the consolidation, we will lose more than we gain with sports. And that seemed to be, you know, a big push. You know, let's talk about sports. Let's talk about getting these kids, the best kids from East and West. We're going to have this awesome team. So that I really stuck out because I didn't hear from an art teacher. I didn't hear from a music teacher. And I didn't hear from, you know, academics except for one engineering guy who definitely had some good things to say. The other thing that really stuck out was that they kept saying that there wasn't a plan. So we didn't have a plan. There were ideas. They were, you know, working on some various plans, but they didn't have a plan. And yet they presented something that was fairly, you know, detailed, but it wasn't the plan. That was emphasized over and over again. And so afterwards, when people asked me, well, what's the plan? I would say, well, they don't have a, you know, a plan. And then not too long after that, a plan was released on, you know, Friday at 5 p.m. that was to be discussed on Monday. I was offered an opportunity to speak at that as a subcommittee attendee. And I wanted to do that. And I kept asking for the plan. I have to see the plan before I can speak on it. And, you know, I ended up doing that on Saturday and Sunday because it was released so late. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a lack of transparency. To say that we do not have a plan, and then, you know, to not really give folks enough time to ask questions and understand it before deciding to vote or not vote. And then also, at the same time, to literally have a blueprint plan of a multi-million dollar sports complex. That really gave me pause and concern.
Let me ask you maybe a kind of different way of putting it. I've heard a lot about, you know, the transparency issue and the process. And I think process is vitally important in any aspect of life in order to get to the right, you know, the right outcome. How much do you get concerned about the process and then what they did put out? In terms of what they put out, do you feel like the ultimate plan is not in the right, is not something we should be pursuing? Or is there, because I think there, again, maybe I'm mistaken on this, but I think a lot of people really are upset in terms of not hearing about it maybe in a timely way or not having the information in a timely way. But at the same time, when you look at what the ultimate plan is, what are your thoughts on that? Are you pro for this plan? Are you against this plan? Or are you still putting it together?
Both of those questions are tied together for me.
Okay.
So in my background, a lot of my work has been done with building educational infrastructure and curricula. Mm-hmm. And that is done through something called basically community participation. And you can't effectively answer a call or a need without understanding it fully. And the people who understand it fully are those who are living it. Mm-hmm. I do believe that the school district made an effort. I don't know that it was highly inadequate, but I think they did make an effort to involve community members. There were representative community members at those subcommittee meetings, but it wasn't enough. And so the plan that they've developed can't be good enough for the community and the taxpayers and the voters and the kids if it isn't driven by them. Mm-hmm. And I think a perfect example of that is if we look at the five schools of the 13 that are earmarked to be closed, they predominantly serve families that are socioeconomically disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that the board said, well, you know, let's target this group of people. But the outcome of whatever criteria they used has, you know, by design is faulty, because you cannot target a group of people for a detrimental change without stopping to question it or figuring out how you're going to offset it. So the mistake is that it's too much too fast. Mm-hmm. So if I were doing this myself and I you know had all the hocus pocus in my hands, then what I would do is engage heavily with a small group of people with one or two elementary schools and start talking about a pilot program. Mm. I think that would reveal a lot of the challenges and would help us not create a disaster.
So there are basically, you would agree there are issues that need to be addressed, but the way it's been gone about is not the way that you personally would have gone, and that by not taking the public by the hand, it makes it for a more difficult process as we move forward. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's fair, and I would suggest even a failure. I think it's going to fail. And this has already happened in Wausau, right? In the 90s, there was an effort to do a big busing thing. Does that sound familiar to anyone? A big busing thing again. And it was not supported by the community. The school board pushed it through, and ultimately it failed. Our school board was recalled. And I think that's what will happen. If we are not listening to the people who are voting for the school board members and we're not serving them in a fair way, then that's what happens.
Let me play devil's advocate for a moment, because last night there was a rather... And did you watch the board meeting last night by any chance?
I did not. I had my little brother with me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But there was an interesting discussion, and I actually watched it before you came in this afternoon, because I wasn't able to see it last night either. Mm-hmm. And talking about the potential of the non-binding referendum. And part of the discussion was about the board being elected to represent the people, but also to be able to make some tough decisions. That sometimes some tough decisions that may not be all that popular need to be made. Could I ask you about your viewpoints on a board member representing people within the community? How do you look about that? Do you feel like you have to have a majority of the people that you are representing behind something, or do you feel like as a member that gets, I would think, more information. As a board member, you get all the information that sometimes you may be put into a position to vote for something that may not be popular within the community itself? Or is it, and to add another caveat to this, that it's part of the job for you to be able to explain to your constituents when something that may at first glance be something they wouldn't support, that is still the right thing to do? I know there's a lot on that bone, but I think it's interesting in terms of somebody that's be part of that board, what their viewpoint is on that position.
Well, so our board is, at-large members.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not geographically or otherwise directly represent groups of people. It has to be the onus and the initiative of the board member to connect with people if they really want to represent people. And clearly that's not
within the whole community.
Exactly. And that's not happened. Or we wouldn't have, you know, I don't know how many people ended up signing the request for the referendum, but the petition was signed by an awful lot of upset people. And I think that's an indication that they do not feel represented. I think that board members do sometimes make difficult decisions, and you know, maybe those are smaller decisions about expulsions, about snow days, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But if you are talking about restructuring an entire community's educational system, busing kids around, shutting down schools, removing some opportunities and perhaps replacing some other opportunities, you absolutely do need to have the support of the community. And the non-binding referendum is a perfect opportunity, in my opinion, to do a better job at beginning the conversation with the community, because they'll see it on the ballot and hopefully read about it. Really, people are busy. People are busy working, and a lot of folks are unaware. I've talked to teachers that didn't feel, comfortable expressing their opinions. They felt that they were hushed at faculty meetings and that sort of thing. So I don't think that the freedom of speech part has been respected here, and that all of the opinions are going out. And ultimately, if the community does not feel heard, the board will be removed, mm-hmm. and we'll have a whole lot of wasted money and time.
You got a few more minutes?
I do.
All right. We got to take one more quick time out, and then we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes to Jillian Patino. And there are obviously more issues that we can discuss besides the very important consolidation issue as well. The time is 2:47. Back with more here in just a few moments. I'm Chad Holmes. Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, we're talking to Wausau School District candidate, Wausau School Board candidate, Jillian Patino. And I guess I'm going to bring it up. You brought it up in the last break when I was asking you about, the role for these school board members and in terms of representing the folks. You were involved in an ethics complaint with members of the board. Could you explain your thinking again about the idea of representation and also the idea that perhaps rules were broken to get on that board?
Yeah. So, you're mentioning before, are people who are elected, are they being asked by a community to make hard decisions for them? And I think that is true. As I said before, mm-hmm. I think that's true. Sometimes there are difficult decisions, but when it comes to larger things like the referendum, that really needs to be community driven, not just board driven. And part of the assumption of that question is that the elections are fairly run. Mm-hmm. And obviously right now in our country and in our history with January 6th, there's a lot of talk about fair elections. There's a lot of focus placed on making sure that we have fair elections. And some of that comes down to campaign finance law. And so I find campaign finance law to be very important, and I'm passionate about it, and I make sure that I follow it. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to run for school board, I thought, well, okay, these groups have won over the past couple of years. We've had groups of people running together, and they've won. And I just assumed that it was legal because it happened 2 years in a row. And I figured, okay, well, obviously it's right out there for everybody to see. It must be legal. And I had met Fred Thiele, who's very progressive thinker, wonderful school teacher, wonderful background in history. And I thought, well, if I was going to run as a, quote, slate with mm-hmm. somebody, then that would be the person. But I didn't feel easy about it. I didn't feel comfortable because I knew that I and my other races couldn't just share money with people. You know, you have to report things. And so I called the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, and about two sentences into the conversation, the guy shut me down. I said, "Hi, this is Jillian Patino. I'm calling from Wausau. I want to know about running as a slate for the Wausau School District." And he said, "Stop right there. You cannot run as a slate. The only people in the state of Wisconsin who can run as a slate are the governor and the lieutenant governor in the general election and the vice president and the president. When you run as a slate, you share campaign finances, and you cannot do that." So he sent me some information. The Ethics Commission had published an article and an opinion. They had shared it with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And it turned out that the last three winners ran as a slate, and they shared campaign finances that tremendously exceeded what is allowed by the law. And I wanted to make sure that that stopped. I want fair elections. Fred and I, there's no law that says you can't share a slogan. Mm-hmm. There's no law that says that you can't share a billboard or a sign or colors or fonts or whatever have you. But there is a law on how much you can share. Mm. You cannot spend more than the campaign contribution limit, which is about $1,000 in this school district.
When you put in the ethics complaint, where do you stand with that right now? Because obviously, it's still an issue, and it would be an issue, I would imagine, if you win on April 4th. Where does that stand?
Well, so they have meetings, I believe, every quarterly. And
seems like you could do a little bit better than that, couldn't you? Kind of important, you know?
One would think. So I filed the complaint. I got a response within about 45 minutes that my complaint was going to be pursued. And then I was told that it would be heard in February. They anticipated that it would be heard in February at their meeting. And then after the February meeting, they told me that they decided to wait until May. Now, if I was trying to do the right thing, I would also wait until May, because I wouldn't want a mistake of a prior group of people to affect a current election. So I actually respect that. My hope is that, the other two of the other candidates have already announced that they're running as a slate and apparently have things with their names on it together. My hope is that they will do the same as Fred and I, which is to respect the campaign finance law and the campaign contribution limits.
Again, talking to Jillian Bettino, Wausau School Board candidate here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We got about 2.5 minutes left. And as I hate to put in 2.5 minutes, but we talked a lot about one big issue. What are other issues that folks here in Wausau should know about that you are looking towards working on should you be elected on April 4th?
Well, I think that we need to face some of the maybe the sneakier issues that are coming up in school boards across our state and across the country. And I think that some of that has to do with protecting fact-based history teaching, making sure that our teachers can teach accurate reflection of history, including the issues of slavery in this country, civil rights movement, the Holocaust, science-based and fact-based health education and sex education. I want to make sure that we are creating a healthy space for people to talk as young adults about the realities of our world, everything from, climate change and the solutions to it, to treating one another with dignity and respect. And, we have a very wonderful, diverse community, and it's going to continue to grow that way. And I want to make sure that, people and kids from this community can be part of the collaborative future that I envision. And that's what brings innovation and technology and all of the good stuff. So I want to be at the table for that conversation.
And finally, for folks that may want to find out more, do you have any web presence or where information can be found for folks looking to vote on April 4th?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. It's Jillian Bettino for Wausau Kids.
Very good. Go to Facebook and Jillian Bettino for Wausau Kids. Thank you for coming in. Really appreciate it.
My
best
pleasure.
Best of luck on April 4th.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Jillian Bettino, again, joining us here on Bow Falls Radio. Again, we've had invitations out to all the candidates to come in. We had Fred Teeley on last Thursday. We will have Lance Trollope coming on the 27th. And the other two candidates have indicated they would like to come on as well. We're just still working on finalizing the date and the time for that as well. And bottom line is, get all the information you can get and also make sure that you go out and vote on April the 4th or earlier, of course, with that option as well. We're going to talk about last night and the school board meeting coming up in the next hour. Again, the discussion on that referendum was big. We'll talk about that and more coming up here on WXCO.